Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's say you got a radio gig tomorrow, and they're like, hey, you got to drive 50 minutes to your radio station hub. Would you do that?
As I've always said, it depends on the suitcase.
If the suitcase was in real terms, real radio these days, which doesn't pay anymore.
Pound sand, my friend, pound sand.
The level of carjackings downtown, and kids apparently are just carjacking individuals just to get from one side of the city to get to the other side of the city.
They don't know about Uber?
I don't think they care about Uber.
The penthouse.
Oh,
if you get the penthouse, I'll come back to D.C.
You said you were going to come back in October.
He didn't say what year.
There's still time.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Because the thing is, you can call me an a-hole in the middle of traffic, but don't do it unless there's some level of justification for where I put my car. So I pull out of my kid's school, and there are three lanes coming from Cape Corral, as Jimmy used to pronounce it. And
it's like a Western town.
Yeah. Four lanes.
Oh.
An access lane to turn left, an access lane to turn right, and two lanes in the middle. I go out around the traffic that's already backed up to the first lane on the right of going straight, and I catty-corner around to the second lane. And cars are all backed up. Anybody going straight is not going anywhere. And the tail of my sensible SUV is taking up both the right lane and the left lane, and they're... I suppose I would have delayed this person by 10 feet, but
wow.
That's it, because he can't go anywhere.
Right.
And I hear, but it's still, when you're in a position like that and you've gone out, you want to get that over with. You want to start moving and be straight in the lane where you want to be. And then in the background, I hear, a-hole. And I'm like,
but he didn't say a-hole. He said the full fueled.
Yes. Yeah. He said a-hole. He said the full word. And I'm craning my neck because I really can't see him. He's in back of me. And then I finally turn my, I don't like to turn or bend. And I turn around to the left.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the guy, and it's kind of like one of these.
Yeah,
like, and then I'm mad. Because if I'm doing an a-hole move and there's total justification, like, for example, if there were eight car lengths and I've kept him from going, there's not. There's maybe a half a car length.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when the car started, he was in the right lane that he was all bitching about, and I stayed ahead of him until he roared by, cut another person off, obviously very, very angry. But down here, we have a seasonal community, and the seasons have changed.
Do you feel
it's tense?
He summers somewhere else by the look of him?
No. I feel he works
local.
A local.
He probably thinks track. Mike is from away.
Yeah.
Technically, and probably everywhere I've lived, I've been from away. No, I haven't. I'm from New England.
Talent and stardom.
Mike, you're at home right here.
What?
You're at home right here.
So,
but he hasn't been here in 10 years.
No, on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing. No. I'm pissed.
Well, yeah, because you're annoyed, because you're like, I can be an a-hole, and I wasn't being an a-hole.
Yeah, right? I know what an a-hole does.
But I was an a-hole after that, and he gets the salute. I know I always say, don't succumb to road rage. Don't do it. Don't get involved in that.
I thought he always said, don't drown, turn around.
No, no, what Mike always says is call Miss Utility.
I give him that flash flooding alert. What?
You say call Miss Utility. That's
before
what you say.
Before you dig, call Miss
Utility.
Call
Miss Utility.
That's what you always say.
Hey, by the way, let me take this opportunity to say hi to our good friends, the Junkies, Lurch and Johnny Cakes and JP, John Paul Flame, and Eric Bickle. I'm I'm doing a postmortem, as I always do online with my Giants, just to see, you know, see the cheers and jeers, see the, you know.
Oh, kudos and brickbats?
Yeah, the coverage.
Kudos and brickbats. And so a video popped up of Misery Monday from the Junkies, where they were talking about the Commanders having a terrible game, which they did.
Yes.
Worse than the Giants, and that's doing something when you can have a game. And, you know, it's just, I haven't seen those guys in a long time. And it's just, if you want to feel old, I was the elder statesman back in the day, and now they got the gray hair.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, they have for a while. Certainly EB's had it for a while. But it's just,
the sand of time.
Yeah.
It's really, it's really something that those guys have
also,
you know, kept time, at it. And at mornings, it just.
What time do you think they would, 3 a.m.?
Oh,
3:30
a.m. But they had every, you know, it's a Sunday.
Mornings, right?
Cakes referenced something, and I only saw a short clip, but Cakes was referencing something about, you know, the way their jargon, that was the best part of their show, still is, that they have their special jargon. I had the Scary Sundays, and I think
Sunday
the Scary
Scaries.
The Sunday Scaries.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful way of articulating when you do a morning show.
Oh, yeah.
That the Sunday Scaries are just, I don't want to go on with life. It's very different.
You've mentioned that you've been to excellent party type settings on Sunday afternoons and you can't enjoy yourself.
Oh, and the people that do are people usually unburdened by a desire to perform at a high level on Monday. That is a fact. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but if you're out and you're shotgunning Miller Lights till 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday.
After age 40.
After age 40.
Yes.
You know. You're hanging drywall the next day. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what
true.
The truth
or
is.
Or punting
okay?
at work. Pretending
or punting
to work.
At work, totally. You're not probably heading up a Fortune 500 company if you're, you know, if you're ingesting that much. So the idea of the Sunday Scaries is around about noon. And I don't know. I'm stealing the name from Cakes.
No, that's a common, like, the kids use that term, Sunday Scaries.
The Sunday Scaries, it's just you about noon you get them when you do a morning show, because you're getting up in the middle of the night to go into work and perform at a high level. And it's just really, really, same thing would happen with a three-day weekend. Nothing I hated more than the guys that were still partying on Memorial Day. That would piss me off to no end. Like, it's like, fireworks are over. Let's go back to Todd's house. And I hated that. So.
Mike, you are so right, though. I mean, this is something that is unique
horrible.
To a certain sector of the population, but it's very true. It's that you start feeling doomed. Oscar's right about noon on Sunday.
Because I don't feel dread.
Well, you've never done a morning show.
Yeah, correct. But I'm saying, like, I don't. I'm saying I'm not feeling.
No,
I
used but to, you I used said to feel noon.
Dread. I used to feel dread. Mike said noon. I used to feel dread when I was in business school or what when I was at WVU of like, oh my God, I got to finish that. I got to finish that. It's the same thing you have for a morning show. I got to
exactly
do that morning
the
show,
same
right?
Thing. I don't. But I tell you, once we switch to afternoons. It wasn't the same.
Yeah, you owned and operated a bar.
Yeah.
It was
during that time.
I was fine with it, except for one day with Denny Hamlin on the floor of my I got in trouble. You know, and there's only one person that could get me in trouble and he didn't like it. Because I had a good story. Anyway,
how dare you?
Yeah, how dare me.
How dare you contribute.
I looked at those guys, and I'm not sure what the ages are. I think they're like Oscar, but maybe a little less than Oscar, 20 or so years.
Well, I got to hear EB.
Or would they be in their 50s?
No, the
now?
Junkies are 7-8 years older than me.
I have it here. Mike, EB
is. Oh, okay,
is,
so they're in their 50s.
Yeah, they're in their 50s.
They're in their 50s.
They're more my contemporaries.
And I don't care who you are, that takes a toll.
Sure.
Those hours take a toll. And on Monday, what's cool about the Junkies, and it's kind of why I wore my hat coming in, because I thought I'd do a Junkies look today, in paying homage to those guys. Cakes looked like, and I know for a fact that Cakes is not a partier, and Cakes looked like he'd suffered that loss of the Commanders. It was Misery Monday. Really did look.
You probably don't know this, Mike, because why would you? They're
on Comcast cable.
They're not even on Comcast anymore. It's not Comcast anymore. It's called Monumental Sports Network.
Okay. All right. All right.
Ted Leonsis. Hello, sir.
TV cameras are on them like
We'll come in the green room. We have three cartoon sized TVs.
Yes.
And we throw on all the sports channels just for whatever. And I go to the Monumental Sports Network and I'm like, huh. I wonder what time they had to get in this morning.
Yeah.
And I feel for them because look, drab t-shirt's still the EP there.
Yeah.
And CK still running that station.
EP, for those of you that don't know, is executive producer.
And it's just you just sit there, you're like, that's gotta be a 3:30 AM call.
Yeah, and
it was for me.
Does Lurch still live far away?
Yeah.
Oh God.
3:30 it was for me when I lived a good piece away. The thing that when I went back and at the end of my career in Washington, I ended up taking another job as a morning show host. And I remember getting up at about the same time that I had gotten up previously and not realizing that rush hour in Washington, D.C. at 4:30 in the morning was already in full swing, which had changed. It doesn't exist anymore.
Not at that level.
No, it's thinner now. It's coming back. It was at its best like 2 years ago.
I don't think it's ever going to come back after seeing the amount of empty buildings in the district this past.
We'll get to your I had no would you like to share with our listening audience how many floors in the high rise
we are in a group of 3 8-story buildings and there are 13 floors that are completely demolished and
when you say demolished being renovated
no they're down they're waiting for someone to come in and make and basically
Build out.
TI, as they call it, and some sort of lease. Tenant improvements. So the only reason I know this is because they've renovated the entire lobby of the building, which has a beautiful gym. It's got a cafe downstairs. It is gorgeous,
it's
right?
It's a knockout,
after everything
Mike.
We've been through and the boom, bam. Like, you probably haven't heard it on the show, but we've dealt with it. And then they're like, hey, like there is there's a top floor on this building, which is, you know, for us in broadcasting, the first floor and the top floor is the best floor because you get the highest ceilings for a lighting grid.
Yeah.
And we've always had visions of doing some sort of video wall, like a large video wall, and we just never had the height for it.
And also top floor farthest away from noise on the street. Just acoustically.
Are you thinking about with the empty space in the building of moving on up to the east side?
It all depends on the deal that is afforded to the team, right?
Sounds like it might be a buyer's market.
And then, so I said, I just like to see every floor, if possible, that's available to see what options there are. Because I've seen these floors. That's all I've seen.
Well, our fob doesn't go up that high.
Security wise, you can't get to other floors.
They would entertain. For your purpose.
Yes.
A reasonable sized living area for you and your wife up there. Like, I'm thinking.
Studio apartment?
Would
so
you
to
like
speak?
To. Why don't you, you know, you run the pub down here, live in the apartment above?
I don't. Well, there are. Funny you say that. There are a third of the buildings in downtown DC. Remember, we're in the Rumors building that used to be Rumors.
Yeah, at the bottom was a famous old watering hole in Washington,
and
D.C.
And everybody still refers it to that building when you talk to leasing agents.
Yes, the Rumors building because Rumors was an iconic
it was.
Bar.
Yes.
I was never there.
Yeah.
I know my father never went either.
So
God, I was a bar fly.
So we get on there. It goes, every floor. I'm like, I've got an hour. What's that going to take, 30 minutes? He's like, there are 13 different floors. And I said, empty, like gutted? He goes, yes, and we have another 5 scheduled. To be gutted. And I said, oh.
Well.
I heard a rumor that the building across the street has been given back to the bank. And he says, that is true. That happened a couple months ago. And
so is this indicative of commercial city real estate around the country?
I think it's just DC.
Really?
I think because of all the government agencies and all the specialty work. And this is me, people. Feel free to write in. Send me a private message. Maybe this isn't good for business, I don't mind. I'm an open book. It's good for our business. I'm good with it. 90% of our slate next year, above 90%. Like we have a great business.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, like, when can we expect you to come in? And they're like, oh, no, like, our CEO is remote. We're all going to be remote. Like, we love the work you guys do. It's top notch. It's giving us the results we need. We can just do it from home.
It's becoming the way of the world.
And I said, and these are like large organizations where you're like, oh, my God, like, you own a building downtown. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not coming back?
Well, it's the it's a topic constantly in corporate America.
But I'm right? not. But this is the thing. I used to be. You remember me?
Uh-huh.
I used to say like, we got to get back. We got to get back. We got to get back. I am not a fool. I can also say I know when I feel like I've been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for DC after.
But your the nature of the work that we do, that you do at Podville is come into
It is relevant to the amount of people that are coming in. ESPN, great, awesome. But outside of ESPN.
Crickets, shall I play the cricket sound, right? Like, no one's coming.
We're doing just fine with everybody around the country and around the world.
Yeah.
And
we'll do, Mike, we'll do an interview. And if I'm setting up like a test or something, and I always ask, where are you joining us from? And they'll say, Bethesda. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, no need to discuss the weather then.
It doesn't matter. You're in a garage in Florida, for God's sake.
I'm in a garage in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yeah. And so.
Not proud of that, but.
There are other cities that are thriving in production. Great. Awesome. But I think it's just DC.
That because of the nature of the beast. I'd be curious about
and
that.
And the crime rate is through the roof.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? So you're nervous like when you're on the street?
Well, Shannon won't even walk the dog when it gets dark because the Sunday scaries are the people scaries.
Oh, wow.
That this is no longer like Tourette's, like, oh, that's too bad. This is like, you might be attacked. The level of carjackings downtown, and kids apparently are just carjacking individuals just to get from one side of the city to get the other side of the city.
Yeah, that's heavy duty.
It's crazy.
They don't know about Uber?
I don't think they care about Uber.
Rob, do you get that sense when you're coming in from the burbs?
You definitely see, it's a different... Here's what it is that right when we started coming back in and the COVID protocols were in place, the city was deserted. Looked like a universal backlot of a city.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody out, nobody doing anything. But it is getting more crowded now, but not with the crowds we saw before COVID.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the businessmen and the well-put-together ladies walking the street. It's different. It's a different...
Rob, do you get a sense of it being more dangerous?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was asking. Do you remember the Daily Grill? That's right in midtown, right?
Yeah,
downtown.
It's got a beautiful corner location, and it was a really nice little
just
lunch
gorgeous,
spot.
Right?
It used to be very nice.
Tony,
beautiful view out.
Tony
on the
Perkins
street.
And Gary Stein's favorite place.
I can imagine they like not the Cheesecake Factory because it was
Daily
another
Grill.
Section
the
of
Daily
town.
The Daily Grill, yes.
Yeah. Right.
If they were at Fox the Daily 5.
Grill, when I'd be planning on a lunch downtown, where do you want to go to the Daily Grill?
Yeah,
it looks a little out of my price, right? Let's go to a diner. That's the way I looked at it. Very, very high end.
Gone.
Wow.
And I was like, is someone going to open up a roller skating rink in that place? That place was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel, and I don't want to alarm anyone that's listening to this show right now, but hear me out.
Okay.
All right? I don't want to make a grandiose
This is just DC.
Statement.
You're right.
It might just be DC. I read too much, Oscar.
You read constantly. You're burdened by literacy.
I'm burdened by my literacy.
Cursed by your curiosity.
And I'm curious.
That literacy has driven me to one irrefutable conclusion. Don't want to be over dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
The world is going mad.
I think commercial real estate is. Because you know what's thriving? Georgetown's thriving. It's just like literally a mile away. And the rent
and that's why,
is more expensive in Georgetown.
That's why the people come into Georgetown to, you know, for some fertile hunting ground.
And then,
always have, by the way.
Rockville is Rockville, where you guys hated going to, is thriving.
Classic
Don't
Rockville.
Tell me that.
Bethesda
Don't tell
is
me that.
Thriving.
But, because Rockville's thriving because they've got like high rises.
Yeah, they built
and one grocery store for 98-year-old people.
Well, that's all gone now. It's all like high rise. Literally,
did they take away Bagel City?
It's high rise. It's called, oh God, it's called like something. It's supposed to be something cool. Remember what Toys R Us was up there?
Yeah.
That entire Montrose shopping center is now like a mini Bethesda.
Oy.
Well, so what do you feel as though you might be popping around the building? What, I mean, what's the
I want a place with taller ceilings. So, you know me, I think in every dark pool.
Well, they ought to just let you have it.
There are opportunities.
The penthouse.
Well, what is great, it does feel like you're in Wayne Manor up there.
If you get the penthouse, I'll come back to D.C.
You said you were going to come back in October.
He didn't say what year.
There's still time. I don't, but this is what is funny. So, and you answer me this question, Mike. And Rob Ford might have said this best to me. He said, I don't know why you're so flabbergasted. And I'm not concerned about the business because the business, you know, knock on wood, is thriving because we're able to bring a high quality capture and a remote capacity from a HQ nerve center, right? That's possible. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the sheer overall future of this city because I really thought with these government agencies that people were going to be like this, like call of the wild. All right, let's come back and do business. And they're just not, especially these NGOs, they're just not. And
well,
then,
an inherent problem with Washington, D.C. compared to other cities like New York or Los Angeles is the lack of residents.
Always has
that,
been.
That, you know, it has always been the suburban mecca where that's why our traffic is what it is.
Yep.
And, you know, so when you don't have the majority of people who are working downtown, living downtown, you got an issue. You got an issue. Mm-hmm. And that's yep. what happens with that.
The,
you know?
the Peace Corps.
And nobody's manufacturing anything in downtown. You know, no one's really creating.
No.
The nature of the business is they are pushing paper and doing, you know,
got it. Yeah, there's no actual, like, you don't need people. The
So what did Rob Ford say to you about being flabbergasted?
Rob Ford said, he goes, look, D.C., you're lucky if people stayed till 5 o'clock before they left for home.
Isn't it?
He goes, that was pre-pandemic. You think
you would go to the city on a weekday,
mm-hmm.
and there would be no life. In New York City, for example, the greatest city in the world, you had on a Tuesday night, a pulsing, mm-hmm. thriving dinner, entertainment, watering holes constantly.
Yep.
Neighborhood joints. That's with Washington, D.C., with all the marble and all the monuments, not a pulsing, you know, as areas.
Yeah.
As areas like Glover Park, where where Oscar used to live. Adams Morgan is a little neighborhood within the city limits.
DuPont and, Circle?
That's where we are, essentially. Yeah. And
but we're just off of it.
Yeah. But not on a large scale. So you've got that, and, you know, it's different. It's really, really
said,
different. It's kind of sad for some reason.
Well, that's the thing. I know this will be different in 10 years. I get it. But right now, and I'm saying just from a resident of D.C., it just is, and I look. I'm not holding the title for a building. I'm not in commercial real estate. I don't know how it feels to be those guys, right? But it just is like, it's eerie.
Yeah, and Mike, yeah. I think you nailed it with the word sad, because as someone who has lived in this area all my life, and you a good portion of your life, how many times have you had people come in visiting, and on a Saturday they say, "I'd like for you to show me the city." and you go in and you take them around and show them all the stuff, and it's not got a vibe of excitement. As a matter of fact, you end up apologizing for the bad roads. It's a crumbling infrastructure.
It's got monuments.
That's what it's got.
And a few museums.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it's got the White House and Capitol Hill.
Let's say you got a radio gig tomorrow. You could if you wanted to. It's up to you. And they're like, hey, you got to drive 50 minutes to your radio station hub. Would you do that?
As I've always said, it depends on the suitcase.
If the suitcase was in real terms, real radio these days, which doesn't pay anymore.
Pound sand, my friend, pound sand.
Yeah, no, I got a studio right here. Give me a different backdrop. Yeah, we're good to
what
go.
What I do no longer is relevant. I mean, do you remember back in the day, 14, 15 years ago, this little piece of equipment we had called a Telos unit was something that was so special because get a broadcast quality sound from anywhere. And now, even that is something that's not used as much because all computers have that now. And it's just it's a different world. And what we do is anywhere. Yep. And I've done it for a gazillion years, you know. Remember how funny it was with radio people? I think of Kevin and Bean.
That's the first thing when Bean moved
was
to
the
Seattle.
State secret.
Or Kevin,
of
I'm sorry.
State
no, Ben Bean,
secret,
Bean, 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 Bean.
Gene Baxter. Yeah. Gene Baxter moved to Seattle and kept it a secret, and it was the state secret because you're not in L.A. You should be doing it in L.A. It's just
they didn't
it's
get
no
along.
Longer a big deal.
You see, they didn't get along.
Yeah, you used to have on the talking heads.
Yeah,
they'd all sit around a table in chairs. They still do a lot of the Sunday morning shows, but it is some of the worst audio that you will hear from a person's laptop practically sitting in their bathroom on national television, and that's the way of the world now. That's the way, at least with our business. Now, there is, though, it's important to point out, there are production values and
you can't mimic what we do for Dominique with the computer. You can't.
Right.
That's why we're literally looking at a different, we're looking at opportunity here. The penthouse used to be $70 a square foot, right? We pay not $70 right now for a square foot. If you're telling me we could hypothetically get the penthouse, same square footage, and build what is like this next gen studio, for the same amount of money, decent option. Gonna look at it. Fine.
I think the word that comes to play though is virtual. You have to, how much of all that is going to be virtual someday?
One's going to wear a virtual reality mask. You mean?
Just I don't know.
Well, Blitzer
is
in the goggles
so fast. Yeah.
Well, there is a level of set called XR, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That just you have a portion of the set that is what is essentially your Mandalorian wall, and the rest is all virtual reality.
It's drawn. Mm-hmm. It's drawn with a computer.
Yes.
It's like AI taking over our lives. AI wants to slide some little cursor in and go, "You want to write it like that?
Shut up. Leave me alone. I don't want you to help me unless I ask for help.
You have great grammar.
Yes.
That's gone by the by. Mm. You know? Now I'm out on the streets coming up near Cape Coral and somebody goes, hello.
With no comma.
That's right. Maybe it's Clippy crazy. Told him to say that. Do you remember Clippy?
Yeah, I remember Clippy, that garbage clip art. You think Microsoft could spend a little more money on animation? Do you think... Again, no doom and gloom because I'm happy for you people that get to stay at home. I'm absolutely happy. Like there is no questions in my eyes that like I was wrong. You can work remote. I will take all that back. Maybe not for every job here at Podville. You're not going anywhere. But I'm telling you, and Matt Bloom, I hope you're living your best life. But this is, I think you don't have to go back. I'm the first to say it.
Can
I'm
I
the
offer
last
this?
To say it.
Yes.
I'm the last to say it.
Okay, yes.
Let me offer.
Yes.
Yes.
What we do differs from what other people do.
Clearly.
We have to come in with our eyes open in an energetic way to do our jobs.
Agreed.
We are presenting something for the masses for public consumption.
We are talented.
We have done that. Thank you for that. We do that every day. I don't want to get in trouble. I have been privy to observing
yes.
workers that work virtually up in Maine when I was up there with my daughter and my daughter's beau,
yes.
who worked virtually. And there is, I have to be careful. There is a rhythm to it that I found a tad off-putting.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. In what capacity?
Socks.
What do you, wait. What is the rhythm?
Okay. I think that with everybody, if you are not doing a teleconference, a conference call, a Zoom meeting, and you are working at a computer station, you know, everybody, the quality of production I see in general, and I'm speaking in broad terms.
Not media production.
If you, the idea of having, you can't do it with media production,
right,
because
different.
I'm talking about any job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
IT.
Yes. Output, production output.
You've got, you know, the concept of the corner office with the boss walking the floor. Boss is here. Look sharp. That's gone with a lot. It's gone.
Right.
There's no way a computer screen can result in that kind of supervisory activity.
I agree.
Therefore, everybody, to a small degree, some more than others, is effing oh. That's what they're doing. They're effing off. That's it. They are.
I think it depends on the caliber of team member you have, because I will let you know that we have gone through many iterations here at the firm, a firm that you're a partial owner of, and you should be proud that we
I'm proud of
we
Pod have Bill. I'm
we,
proud of my association
we have turned and burned people here in a very thoughtful but rapid manner to figure out who are doers and who are don'ts.
Okay.
And,
all right, so you live it, so you know better than I do.
And you can tell, you're like, okay, I'm going to rotate you home for a couple of days, and we have like a scorecard measurement stick that says, okay, are you going to be able to do this, because it's a privilege to work from home, and if they can, here are a few more days, do your thing, right? Because your output is your output. And the other end is, you know, Mac, you would say that you're just getting used to being back in the work, in a real workforce and workplace, correct?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've never worked from home.
Okay.
Nor do I think I should work from home.
I don't think you should either, after yesterday's engagement between you and I, where Mac, I said, Mac, why wouldn't you do it this way? And then he looks at me, this is deadpan. And this is why I love him. He'll just tell me how he feels. I said, you know, like, this is what I asked you to do. Why wouldn't you do it? It's going to be more efficient and faster. He goes, because I didn't feel like it.
That is a component that I know you find valuable. I hate outing you on that,
yes.
But that's pretty cool.
I'll take it. You know what? Thank you. Let's
that's
work
funny.
On your collaborative nature
and oh my God.
How we work together.
So you're saying, and I'm
fail.
So what you're saying is, when someone's at home, you can still keep tabs.
You can,
of course.
You don't even have to keep tabs. You can, because there's software that does all of this. Did you know that Microsoft Office, built into its entire like suite, can like measure the amount of time you spend on programs? So if you're like, I've been working on the Excel sheet all day. We don't do this. We don't have that suite here.
And they're on the hub.
Well, they're not even on the hub. They're just, they opened up Excel at like 9:30 in the morning and never touched the program at all day.
The program that they have for work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Okay. So you're saying there's a way.
Big brothers out there, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of in that way, I kind of, maybe because I've been responsible for people in my life. Yeah. I kind of side on Big Brother.
You get that. If you're using your work's laptop, they know.
Right. Before we go to break here and to clean our palate,
please.
I want to...
I didn't feel like it, Mike.
I did. I'd like to...
I do feel like cleansing my palate.
Yes, I would love to. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. Let's move on.
Mac, that video of... I just want to make a comment on a commercial
over the
weekend. And if we could just run a little bit of it.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you. Go ahead and roll that commercial for us, Mac, when you get a chance.
Diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take once daily Jardiance. At each day, start
All right, you can stop it. I had type 2 diabetes. You don't sing.
No.
There's no crying in baseball. You don't sing about type 2 diabetes.
Mike, we should explain. She's not only singing, it's a full-on MGM movie-style dance number.
Yes.
There are people around her. She is in a fountain, and right. She is so excited that she right. has got the type 2,
right.
the sugars, that she's singing about it because of
pill.
And
if you're going to sing, the lyrics should be, I'm feeling lightheaded and my toes are blue. My heart rate's racing and I love you. I've got type 2 diabetes and I'm going to die. It's and you know, I'm losing the sight in my left eye. It's not. Come on.
Yeah, it's not.
What's wrong? Is that everything's not sweetness and light?
Does
God
diabetes cause eyesight loss?
It can.
Yes. Oh my God, it causes a million different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen. Controllable. I'm living proof.
Yes.
Rob's living proof.
Yes.
You can control this stuff. There, and all for the you know, the people that are creating drugs, a big industry of medications in America, you know? But just play it from the beginning one more time.
I didn't
just
know
so
the
we,
vision.
The very first yeah. sentence that she sings is what gets me a little bit.
Yeah. I have type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take one stick.
She's doing the diabetes dance.
You know what?
Okay.
This is the swan song for these drugs. She should switch to Mounjaro. Right? She'd lose the weight.
Glad you brought that up.
Oh, really?
On that front for
us.
Yes. S3. Yeah.
Are you going to announce
today?
No,
it's a tease. It's a tease.
No, not today. Not today.
No, but, here we go.
You get
Big Tiffany.
Yeah, very, very excited. Very, very very,
we're
very
gonna save
excited.
Your lives.
That's right.
Carla.
So just don't, you know. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it's all fluffy, you know. I just think that certain medications that are going to help preserve your life,
yeah,
and improve your quality of life, there should be the appeal should not be a dance number in a courtyard. You know what I mean?
I think, Mike, that's what it. They're missing is that Jardian should be served in a gummy format.
On that note,
don't you think?
I think you are at Rob as usual. You are absolutely right.
Strawberry flavored, can't see much.
My God,
I've got an open wound because I tripped over my hutch.
Thing won't heal, but that's okay.
I didn't even want to live another day. All right, that's it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. There you go. Hey, folks, time to experience Dadgrass, the legal, organic way to unwind without hangovers or grogginess. Enjoy the relaxation of smokable hemp with low THC and high CBD. Explore their 100% organic pre-rolled joints for a clear-headed cannabis experience. Not into smoking? Check out Dadgrass's top-notch tinctures and gummies for a delicious, euphoric mood. It's all the mellow goodness, no smoke required, and they all leave you feeling the good vibes. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Plus, it's THC approved, man.
Amen.
Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's Dadgrass, man. .com.
Man.
No, it's not man. Dadgrass.com/TMOS.
Oh, I like the man, though. I think it was a nice addition.
Absolutely. Man. Release the Kraken.
Oh, the Kraken's dancing in a courtyard.
Absolutely. I'm feeling so good on only one leg. All right. Sorry.
Funny.
That is okay.
Just what I observed. Hey, listen to this. You know, I'm very, very acutely aware of... movies and television production being dramatically affected by the strike. So I'm keeping you updated on the after strike because I think it's important for people.
How's your daughter? What's her take on this?
Her take is she's in another career now. Yeah. So that's, you know, she's not. I know there was some project that she may have been involved with, but, you know, not sure. She, you know, go ahead, be a scab. Yeah, go ahead, pick it. anyway, four CEOs are set to return to the SAG-AFTRA headquarters on Tuesday with a new offer. It'll probably happen later on as we tape this early in the morning on the East Coast.
a new offer that they hope will break the stalemate in the 102-day actors' strike. Among them will be Disney's Bob Iger.
Yeah, boy.
Also, who's going to be there? Oh, he called SAG-AFTRA's top negotiator, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, on Saturday to invite the actors back to the bargain table. The CEOs also include David Zaslav of Warner Brothers, Discovery's Ted Sarandos. Warner Brothers Discovery, Ted Sarandos of Netflix, and Donna Langley of NBC Universal. They're eager to get a deal as soon as possible in hopes of salvaging next summer's box office and some portion of the 23-24 TV season.
So it's five, kind of now or never. CEOs together?
Iger, Zaslav, Sarandos, and Langley.
Oh, so four. I bet they do a lot of blow.
What, lines of cocaine?
Yeah, they do lines of cocaine because they're rich and powerful and they got the world
in
their
hands.
That's what happens.
Yeah. On Monday, Paramount announced that it was postponing the next Mission Impossible installment from June 2024 to May of 2025. More delays could follow if the strike is not resolved soon. So we shall see.
I think strike will be resolved soon.
Well, they got it done with the writers.
Yeah,
and look,
close.
It's the bottom line, I think it's a time factor. I think that you hold out because eventually the producers go, diminishing returns on doing this, folks. We got to,
their fiscal year is basically like, look how much we saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they still got to get the big ones out.
Yeah, but this is what I think.
I know this, Oscar. It's been months and months since I've seen anything that like a Madea project.
What happens? And look, I'm in this business.
Sorry,
so
Rob.
I agree that
I love my Madea.
I know you do.
So live programming is huge, right, Mike? For the first time this past year, ESPN actually released. I mean, Disney actually released ESPN's financial numbers. Their division usually be as a whole, and you just we kind of guess what ESPN made. And ESPN makes a fortune off of the live programming.
Right.
And so if you ever watch an ESPN show or digital show, everything's pushing towards the NBA game they have the rights for or the NFL game they have
so
the rights
for. So it's cheap. It's very cheap production, actually. Once they have the set and everything in place, they can just sort of generate almost endless content to point towards something that they've already
owned. But they're paying $100 million for the rights to,
and that's
I'm talking about the other stuff leading up.
So he's right, because in some aspects, if you're building a Disney show, it's so expensive up front, and the costs can't really be controlled. And so you look at the breakout for ESPN, and you see that they're making a couple billion dollars quarterly, and you're like, whoa!
It's because they're running a 4-hour cheap infomercial to promote the 3-hour event.
Yeah, which is why, well, I could go on and on about analysis and stuff like that, but they're live shows.
Yeah, you know great on ESPN on that NBA pregame is Madea. She wouldn't pull any punches.
Very, very
also,
sad.
I feel like we're in 1990s. Madea is still even relevant?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All I know is this, I like my scripted TV. I like sets. I like real actors.
Yes.
I want
real
them all to come
actors.
Back. That's what we need, because ultimately you do need
I
that.
Need more Marvel films.
You know, can't just be guys like us flapping our gums,
true.
Okay? That's the way
or
it works.
Or can it?
Look, you know,
on the top floor.
Hi.
With a
everybody.
Video wall.
From the penthouse in Washington, D.C. and Cape Coral, Florida. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Anyway, Jeremy Renner, we all heard about his ordeal. He has physically recovered from the near fatal accident he suffered last January, but the experience has stayed with him. The Avengers star was crushed near his Nevada home while trying to stop his snow removal tractor from sliding and hitting his nephew. He broke several bones, including 8 ribs. I can't imagine how painful that is. An eye socket break, a knee, and a shoulder break. Renner recently spoke with CNN about his recovery from the accident and how his life has changed in the past 9 months. I'm a fan of Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
I like Jeremy Renner. He described gifts that he feels he has gained as a result of nearly losing his life. Listen to this. For anybody going through it, I think this is important to learn from guys that articulate this well. He says, quote, "There are a lot of gifts that I received because of it," the injury he's talking about. "When you're tested physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, and then to come through it, that's something hard to explain. Having regained his mobility, Renner looked and sounded healthy on CNN when he was interviewed. He said perseverance, strength, It's all a mental game. I put it in my back pocket now. I know how to deal with pain. It's all mind. It's all in the mind. If you can sift through the fog of it all, I am very blessed. So, you know, he says he can overcome things. People overcome the most horrible situations. And you persevere.
All of those symptoms sounded like he had type 2 diabetes.
But he didn't sing about it because he's not singing the song.
Here comes the plow.
Oh, no. Not
my
Mr.
life
plow.
Is gone. But I swear. Anyway.
Mike, how much for a rib?
How much for a rib? 50 cent. How about 40 in my hand for a dime? BuzzFeed.
Yes.
I had to put this in here because I don't think there, as I mentioned on my show prep this morning, I don't think there is enough Halloween talk. It doesn't seem like people are paying attention to it. At least down here, I don't hear enough about it. BuzzFeed put together a list of the candies that celebrities can't live without. I was wondering if there is a chance that you would like to hear the top five celebrities and their favorite candies.
Mm. I would love to get to the bottom of this list.
Then let me take this opportunity and start with number five.
Number five.
The number five celebrity candy comes from Kelly Clarkson.
Mm. Maybe you see her on television. She hosts a show called The Kelly Clarkson Show.
Kelly Clarkson is a big fan of the coconutty goodness of Mounds.
Nice Mounds for Kelly Clarkson.
At number four, one of my favorite all-time performers, the lovely and hysterically funny Awkwafina.
Awkwafina, not her real name.
Very good, Rob.
Thank you, Mike.
Her favorite candy, one of the great American classics known as Raisinets.
Oh, gross.
Chocolate-covered raisins.
Ew.
Let's go with the Smarty Pants. Bill Nye, the science guy.
This guy loves science so much.
You know something I just realized? Why don't we save Bill Nye, since he's a science guy, for dead last?
Well, we'll have to skip right to number two.
Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce, in the news, not just for his football, but for his romance.
He had a big game this weekend.
Butterfinger is his number one candy.
Oh, no. What an ironic name for a guy who had many yards this weekend.
Yes. Where does he keep his Butterfinger?
Uh-oh.
Sorry, that's as close as I'll get from getting in trouble. And at number one, quarterback Patrick Mahomes likes his Starbursts.
That is a fruity, taffy-like confection, and he has a weird voice.
Bill Nye, the science guy, he's a fan of Lifesavers.
Lifesavers? But what kind of Lifesavers?
Peppermint.
Spearmint. And traditional...
No, Wintergreen.
Wintergreen. Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
It's the diabetes.
It's not. Anyway.
And traditional five flavors. Do you have the Shannon in the morning?
What's that?
What about Shannon in the morning?
I don't have it.
Oh, it's okay.
Didn't know we were going in that direction.
What do you think this whole bit was leading up to?
Didn't have any idea.
Okay, there we go.
We're here. You're there.
And now, finally, Tinder has just announced a few new features, and one of them is a matchmaking option which allows you to send profiles to friends and family to let them weigh in.
Yes!
Nothing good can come of this.
This is bad news.
The idea is that it can help you find out if a potential match passes the friend test, and if they if they'll get your parents' approval. Friends and family will also be able to recommend matches to you. The people who invite you to the people who you invite to weigh in do not have to have Tinder accounts themselves, and don't worry, they're not able to do anything on your behalf, including liking profiles or messaging potential dates. The question. Would you want your mom taking a gander at your potential dates before the big night of going out with this person you're swiping?
If I live with my parents, no.
Okay.
If I was, you know, had my own place, I think it'd be fun just to like make them a part of it. So, but you know, I think this is probably true for any father of any daughter. You can't say no at a certain age to your daughter about a guy because you're going to push her towards him.
I think so. That's right? Probably true.
I would let my mom see it, but not my dad, because my dad would probably try to get there first.
Yeah, that's right. Your dad would call you and go, very nice.
Very nice.
My son Robbie, he's got a pretty girl. Yeah,
pretty girl. She has an OnlyFans.
Yes, sir. And then, you know, if her name was Tina, it'd be yay for Tina. Yay, lazy for Tina. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. We'll come back with something, because that's what we do on this show. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're sponsored by Groove Life. Level up your style game with Groove Life belts. I've made the switch. I got four a note wrong. I do have five of them.
Five.
I counted them because I know that I referenced that on the show. I have five Groove Life belts. Yesterday, I was wearing the nicest blue shorts with my gray Groove Life belt with the beautiful belt buckle. I love them, love them, love them. I made the switch. They're the only belts that I wear, and I mean that. They're my constant companions. The Groove Belt boasts unique webbing for perfect stretch and a revolutionary buckle with powerful neodymium magnets.
Yes.
No hassle, just snap it on effortlessly. Say farewell to bothersome belt flaps. With the ingenious StiffTech buckle, trust me, your waist will thank you. They feel so comfortable, too.
They do.
Plus, Groove Life backs it all, and you'll know why when you get the product, a whopping 94-year warranty. But wait, Groove Life offers exceptional wallets and so much more. Elevate your essentials today with Groove Life. It's time to bring your belt into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off your order. One last time, that's groovelife.com/TMOS. For 20% off your order, just click the button on our website, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to talk about this. It's very important to me because I'm doing something that's out of my comfort zone, and I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be coming up very soon, early part of November, where my son's school has asked me to come in and address a leadership class that they're having, and they got me really quickly when they said I didn't have to make a speech, that I will just be kind of interviewed by the two principals, headmaster and the assistant headmaster.
Nice. Oh, what a nice gig that is.
And, well, it's not a gig.
Well, I mean, referring to gig in the most loose sense of the word, if you don't have to prepare a speech and you're great on your feet, that takes a lot of the stress out
of it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to it this time. High school kids, you know?
Bad audience.
That's what it is. I was like, you seem like you're dreading something.
I am dreading one thing, and I'm going to see Oscar Santana if you can get guess what it is. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I wouldn't be showing up there today.
Yeah, well, if it's high school kids.
I need help.
Is what you have to understand. And I get a lot of this from our younger team members. And I actually envy it, and I don't want to discount it, is the... What's the best way to put it? The absolute, what's the word when you're optimistic all the time, or like there's a term for this, like
hopeful, positive.
Yeah. Like, but that everything's even Steven and everything's going to work out. Like everything has to be like, just because the program says it's going to be ready in an hour doesn't mean it's going to be ready in an hour. Like there's absolutes. Dominique has a great saying, absolutes are for children and, oh God.
Okay, like everything's going to work. You have to be on your feet and prepare for any eventuality, including the negative.
Correct.
Outcome.
Yes. So these absolutes, and I'll get the saying right. I'm a terrible friend. He says it all the time. I'm like, he's absolutely right. Just like you have sayings that are absolutely right, Mike, and Charlie does as well. So for me, the high school students, it's even removed from where I am or where your kids were or where your kids are. Their view of the world is completely different than ours. Absolutely different. And I'm talking about geopolitics. I'm saying that what they think is fair, what triggers them, what changes the way that they look. Like, I know that I couldn't walk in and give like a gruff, like, you have to work. And if you're not going to work, you're not going to get anything in life. Like I tell my nephew, when we walk out onto his deck overlooking the Pacific Ocean, I said, do you want this? Like, I remember putting my hand on his shoulder. I was like, do you want this for your family when you're older? I said, right now you're living life in fourth gear. This is 2 years ago. You need to be in sixth gear all the time if you want this. And
I don't think that would go over.
And I think what Mike was looking for was fashion advice.
Thank you, Rob Spiewak. That's what I was looking for.
I mean, I don't know if I totally misread it.
What are you going to talk to them about? What are you going to talk to them about?
That makes up for the Shannon flub. That's okay. That's all right.
What are you going to talk to them about? That's going to compel them.
I am not going to control that dialogue. I
demand a list of questions.
No. Let me tell you what I would.
I'll call and demand a list of questions.
Let me tell you what I would.
By the way, if we can get some copies of the book, that would be nice.
This is what I just briefly. I'd like to bring the book. This is what I like. This is what I see in your audience. This is why I'm a friend.
Yeah.
All these kids.
Your phones will be out.
Their phones are actually like this because they're kids.
Yeah.
They're videotaping you answering these questions from these principals. And then some like young buck, some aspiring Walter Cronkite gets up and says, there seems to be some controversy with one of your old hosts on the radio. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't want to do it anymore.
And then the phone is up there in real time.
Yeah.
And then that gets on TikTok.
Yeah. But I don't think
demand the list of questions, sir.
Well, is it going to be questions from the principals, or are you going to field questions from the audience?
Now you're making me overthink, and I'm terrified. What should I wear?
You should wear a suit, like what you wore to the live show.
I think that exact outfit would be great.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if I want to do a suit.
Don't force. Don't force schlubdom.
I'm not going to for it. The last thing I would do, I clean up nice.
Okay, what about the suit with an open collared shirt? One button.
That's what he wore to the
He did not
show.
Wear a tie, right? No tie. Yeah, that's it. That's the look.
I think a dark suit would be more cool.
It's a daytime event, Mike.
Yeah, light suit, daytime.
Florida. You know what the message would be? The message would be
Don't get happy.
My philosophy is don't get happy.
See, that would be funny.
And it's the way I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you say that, it means you're cruising along, things are good, you're always going to have obstacles. Yeah. You're always going to have unforeseen circumstances that result in getting momentarily sidetracked. Unless you are incredibly blessed and incredibly lucky, everybody has that happen, even the most successful people in the world. Mm-hmm. And you overcome that by, I think, a spirit of reinvention. I think you do that, and that serves you well. In my experience, that has served me well.
These kids...
Reinvention.
So let's look at... you're going to kill regardless.
And other thing I would say that I did not have throughout most of my career, which if I had to go back and do it again, would be... A better plan financially, professionally, everything.
Maritally.
Because if you have that, and some of the most successful people I know are extremely goal-oriented with
they have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's what people, lazy, fat Fs in our world, just wing it all the time. The people in broadcasting, a lot of times, that are... in the DJ realm of radio prison are like, yeah, like that. You could also make that for, in the past, certain professional athletes. A great example of the opposite would be Dominique Foxworth, didn't do that. Yeah. A man who, the NFL was a
stepping stone
for him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great word for it.
And his future, he had it mapped up way down the road. A lot of these guys don't. A lot of people that are in TV and movies, it's like, hey, look what happened to me. And then, 50 years later, they're still playing Colonel Klink.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's it's just not cool.
So true.
Can I spin that in a different way that maybe from my time working with my nephew would resonate?
Are you going to remove Colonel Klink from it?
Yes.
Okay.
You can be anything you want in this world, especially with the advent of the technology you have in front of you. Mm-hmm. The idea that you can learn something on YouTube and really master that craft is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hone in on the mastering aspect of the what you want to create and what your dreams, you know, bring, how you want to bring your dreams to life. All of this AI and all of the technology at your fingertips is only as good as the effort that's put into learning about them and using them. And you have, you can say, I have thousands of hours of broadcasting under my belt.
Tens of
you
want to
fly down here and do it for me on the night? We have to take a...
You lay it out that way. You lay it out that way.
All right. Okay.
Simply said.
I was just asking what to wear, and you said the gray suit. I wanted more.
Mike, you get out what you put in.
No wiki material. How about that?
And no wiki material either.
I'm wearing
to stay off the internet.
This is a 2009 garment that I have.
That's vintage.
Yes, it is.
Omera's. St. Patrick's Day Olympics 2009. Success. that's it. All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's
do that. Halloween is, we referenced it before.
Yes,
just around the corner. And you can tell, I just saw Representative Jim Jordan trying on a sexy Speaker of the House costume. Ha ha ha! Fun! Fun to pretend.
It is.
Nevertheless, it's your job to take care of your own face. Why not try complimentary virtual skin consultations and self-care from DermGlowSkin.com. Grab Carla's Beauty Bundle, 11 travel-sized products that give you the perfect skincare routine for the morning and the night. It's on sale right now for $60. Get it at DermGlowSkin.com. Carla's travel kits are perfect for hitting the road or as a great sampling of Carla's skincare products. DermGlow ships everywhere and features Afterpay. So make the pampering esthetician a part of your self-love journey. And be sure to remember that DermGlow is a proud partner with Columbia House Records and Tapes. Sign up now and get 12 LPs for just one penny. Dance, dance, dance. And tell them Carla sent you. DermGlowSkin.com brings you the future today. Mm. All right, let's
what kind of LPs?
Essie. I didn't want to say that. Somebody was blowing me up here. Hold on.
Who was it? Who's on the phone?
I don't know.
Someone on the phone.
Nope. All right. Do you own a manufactured home? No, I don't.
Oh, it's that guy that from the truck this morning.
Aren't they all manufactured? Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, right? They're all constructed. Let's talk dating trends, shall we?
Yes.
2024, just around the corner. Dating trends for 2020. Now, the only person right now, I've got my daughter who seems to be in a committed relationship. My other daughter seems to be in a committed relationship. No rings yet. No grandchildren yet. But
hey,
they seem happy.
What's the rush?
I don't have any rush, but I think that perhaps during social gatherings, I am now skewing toward, you know, they're both fine lads. They're both fine lads.
Does it ever, would it help to say, hey, if I have his name correct, I apologize. Because I'm just making this name up and I think it's wrong. Hey, Connor.
Still
I had a portion of these dollars set aside for a boda, as my Latin friend would say, a wedding. And, you know, I have some other opportunities on the West Coast that I'm thinking of getting into. So you got, you know, maybe this year to decide and that money will be gone.
Not going to do that approach now.
No?
No.
Really, what do you think he'd say?
There really isn't money set aside. Oh. but anyway, I'm happy for both of them.
I can pay for the open bar.
Yeah.
I can
1 hour.
I'll do like my one of my my weddings to their mother. I'll pay for the band. Go ahead.
It was a great band, Mike. It was a great band.
It was a hell of a wedding.
It was.
I heard it was
an
orchestra.
It was.
It was the Gene Donati Orchestra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Orchestra means
18 pieces.
Strings.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Solid.
Special. And they did everything too. They did big band stuff. They did orchestral stuff. They did stuff.
For the pre-meal drinks, they put a string quartet in the courtyard.
Thought you were going to say prenup.
no, don't do it.
Yeah, so you got to be aware of these dating trends. Both my kids are in committed relationships right now, and I love Robert's girlfriend. So are you familiar with the phrase?
I like my daughter's boyfriend.
Okay.
Like.
Okay, that's good. What do you think is meant by these are the trends that people foresee on websites. It's a website called Plenty of Fish.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Known known dating site.
What do you think of, have you ever heard of the phrase Riz-colored glasses? Riz-colored glasses.
The charisma?
Riz is short for charisma. That's very good, Oscar.
So you look at somebody with, and you're bowled over by their charisma?
Yes, but then you realize you'll never have a relationship with them. You're just into the fact that they're charismatic. Okay. So don't look at your dates with Riz-colored glasses.
Okay.
What are right. What is VBD?
Venereal.
New social disease. VBD sounds like a bad social disease.
Okay, I will tell you what it stands for.
We haven't found a cure for VBD, but there is hope with your help.
I will tell you what it stands for, but you still have to define
it. Can you give me some hints so I can guess?
Vision board dating. What do you think that means?
Oh, VBD. That makes sense. It's like your perfect man. No.
You see somebody that's a dreamboat, either man or woman, and you are bowled over by their look, and you don't realize that their personality is an empty shell.
It is so much more shallow and specific than that. Vision board dating is when you go onto a dating site and adjust your location where you live because you want to find someone that lives in a location you want to move to.
That's actually genius. Wow. Also serial killer.
That's very serial killer.
No, like, but
that's
no, gold, I would think gold digger, not serial killer. I would think gold
digger.
See,
I don't even look at it that way. I think of like, oh, like I want to move to Bethesda, Maryland. So, and I'm single, right? So I want to get ahead of the game because I'll be moving in 12 months. So I'm going to start dating Bethesda, get involved in that pool.
Well, that's transactional too. But I think that when you're looking at some,
You're like, I'm moving to Naples.
Yeah. I'd love to date a woman from Naples. Ching, ka-ting, ching, ching.
Yeah. Either one, Italy or Florida.
I have never thought about that.
Vision board dating?
I would think that's what it really is,
Ron? Right. He's right, but I want to assume that if you're the, I guess you could, because even these young men and women who date older men and women, they could say, okay, this is a very established neighborhood. They're probably older single men or women there.
Exactly.
Bingo. There you go. All right.
I want to move to downtown. I want to have the east side of Manhattan. I live in Pelham.
I live on the top floor of the Rumors building.
I have a business up there and I live up there.
Mike, what is cannonballing? Oscar? What is cannonball?
Oh my God! Dating from jumping from one date to another?
That's a good guess. Incorrect, Mike. Cannonballing.
Getting into a committed relationship every single time you date someone.
Cultivating your identity outside of a relationship. So putting yourself first and really trying to excel outside of what you're doing with the relationship. It's also a play on cannonball, and a cannon event is slang for a pivotal moment in your life that changes everything. They apparently said it in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Is it just focusing on your career?
It's everything. Oh. It's like just
cannonballing is like everything that's really important to you is not necessarily the relationship.
Exactly. You're doing different things within the relationship to make the relationship work.
Kind of like Mike's first and second marriage.
What does that mean?
Right? You focus on your career.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that, you know, there were a lot of things. And, you know, golf was still a part of it.
Sure. And golf is important.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants and the Red Sox. My dad, my mom, you know.
Family. Hey, family's family.
Family is family.
Family's family. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cryptic.
Yeah. Let's not forget drinking.
Mike, I never do.
That was probably a contributing factor, too.
I never do.
Might have been in some small way, you know, my emotional unavailability. Because I was focused on things that I felt were at the time more important.
But you were only on Amstel Light really at that time. You weren't doing the hard stuff as much, right?
No, that was actually in the current relationship I'm in when I was really pounding.
Oh.
You know, where, you know, I'd wrap up the Michelob Ultras and then, you know, it's lemon drop time.
Well, you actually.
Michelob doesn't count as alcohol.
Let's be clear. You weren't always wrapping up because you have a little Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, that changed the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That changed the world a little bit.
All right. Cryptic.
Mysterious?
That's somebody who has a crooked penis.
No, I'm sorry. That's not right, Oscar.
Okay. That stopped me in my tracks. Cryptic, if it's not, maybe it's too obvious to say mysterious. If you're cryptic within your dating, you're very private about your dating.
No, it's actually a pun. Cryptic. a person that you're dating makes you feel icky because they put all of their money into cryptocurrency and they cannot be trusted.
Oh, crypto bros? Wow. Yeah. That's
man, oh man, you hear a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You hear a lot about that. And if you put all your money into cryptocurrency, you might have a problem.
This is true. This is true. PMI. Not TMI, but P as in Paul.
Isn't
Paul, PMI.
Property Management Insurance.
That is a company, but that's not what this is about.
Premenstrual innovation?
Intercourse. No, it's not that either.
PMI. It's personal money investment. I don't know.
It's premature intimacy. When you offer too many personal details too early in the relationship.
It's a red flag. That's as old as time.
Yeah.
That is as old as time. If I went on a date with someone and they were like within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm getting like personal stuff. That is run for your life in my book.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because it's not going to get any better.
But not all the time, right? When we were younger and if a girl would tell me she had chaos in her life, I'd want to
still
fix her.
Free. Well, it's different. Look, everything is
You're
gray,
a little different.
Right? I remember I was in Good Guys and this girl was telling me she was in a bad relationship and I was like, let me save you.
Yeah. Because Oscar is, by definition, a good guy.
Now, I would run. Those are red flags.
Well, you're getting older and more mature. Yes.
And you also never know if she was telling you that. So, you know, she'd get into the Walletto, you know.
She can be fixed with a series of single dollar bills.
Amen.
Yes, last one I hold in my hand, theraposing. Theraposing.
Mm. When you are some help, you're, I guess, pushing yourself to the person you want to date as some self-help guru?
I will give you 90% on that credit. As Mike, it's when you use therapy speak too much and act like you're more evolved than you actually are.
How does that make you feel?
do you know who does this? By the way, take notes. You want a healthy relationship in life? You watch The Golden Bachelor. This guy, I'm taking notes on his playbook.
One trick pony here.
How does that make you feel?
No, the way that this guy, at such an older age, talks to these women like he cares about them. And I know it's Hollywood. I really think he does. The rest of the girls and guys that are on The Bachelor when it's not The Golden Bachelor, they're dating emotional garbage cans. Each one of them.
Just drooled.
That's a good sign.
You are an emotional garbage.
This Golden Bachelor is like the Don Juan of bachelors because he always turns it around on him being a widower. So whatever he just did, if he just dicked down some old broad in the hot tub, and then he's like smooching on the new girl, saying I didn't really mean a lot to me, but it was like really nice and special. And then he rolls, he's like, but you know, as a widower, boom! As soon as he says that, like bow, they're all disarmed.
Yeah, what he says,
he's getting
Mike,
his own endorsement for that show.
He says, "How does that make you feel?" And then and only then does he get out the pump.
There you go. Where are those pills? Anyway, you got to take a break. Got the flip side coming
flip
up
it.
Here, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so glad that at least for now, I'm in a happy relationship. That's at least for now. Oh, I love her to death. I do. She's the greatest thing in the world. We'll be right back, everybody. That was my own insecurity talking, Rob. That's what it was.
No, you're fine. She loves you so bad.
Relive and preserve your cherished memories with Legacy Box. Safely digitize your family's precious moments. It's so easy. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS for an exclusive 40% discount. They handle over 15 types of analog media, including, I'm going to list them right here, VHS tapes, Super 8mm film reels, photo negatives. And as the world's largest digitizer with a decade of experience, Legacy Box has helped over 1 million families relive special moments from weddings to Christmases to beach trips to school plays and, of course, Victoria Day. You have to clear that up for me. I have to know.
That
Victoria
is
Victoria Day.
It's a Canadian holiday where they have fireworks. And
celebrating Queen Victoria.
Victoria, yes. And they're very polite about it.
That's wonderful. He wrote it down.
That day
in May when Canadians really live it up. And launch polite fireworks.
That's what they do. Nothing too noisy.
Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40%. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Legacybox.com/TMOS.
Hello.
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 Wow.
Rolling.
Let me roll it.
Flip, flop, and fly.
The flip side.
The TikTok is weird because you get stuff in your stream based on what you've watched and liked in the past.
Internet Bitcoin. Mm-hmm.
Because of that, Oscar and I get different things. So yeah, okay. Oscar sent this to me that I find perfectly delightful. This is what NPR might be like in the year 2300.
Oh, you're playing it?
This is a new one.
This is not the really raunchy one.
The raunchy one we're going to save for
I thought we were going to do this on the bonus show, but that's okay.
No, yeah. The bonus show
I've seen both of them.
This should be for the world.
This should be for the world.
This is a takeoff on NPR with the modern music twist from today's modern rappers.
And even this is so good. This might make me listen to NPR.
Okay.
That was Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys in the key of C sharp major. This song also features the Ying Yang Twins, who coined the ever popular Ho-wa-ta. Okay. In this classic early 2000s masterpiece, the writers tell a hauntingly memorable tale of a night spent out at a club, as the early rap artists may have called it. In this piece, the boys paint a vivid picture of a plethora of women dancing suggestively about the tavern. Their dancing spans from the window of the club all the way to the opposing walls.
Yes.
The implication of the booty shaking is that fornication is to follow, allowing the men to ejaculate or skeet as they repeatedly chant. Y'all skeet skeet. Mother Y'all skeet skeet. Goddamn. Magnificent and elegantly crafted prose. That's all for this segment. We encourage you to get home safely and grind on someone. You love. This is NPR.
Oh, she is so funny.
She's very good.
Oh, my God. Do we have an author? Do we have her name?
I don't have her author.
We have to give attributes.
We will. Catherine Ellis.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, Mac.
Mike, when you were a classic rock disc jockey, I guess probably if you had to select one song that was a classic rock record, it would be Stairway to Heaven. Did you ever have to play that?
Most overplayed. I don't remember, believe it or not. I mean, if I did, I wouldn't have noticed it.
It became sort of like almost like a punchline. And because of that, Robert Plant hasn't sung it in public in over 16 years.
Wow. I have no idea.
However, Duran Duran, their drummer, is suffering from cancer right now, and they put together a benefit online concert. Robert Plant was the guest, and he did sing a little bit of Stairway. And I think he did a nice job here. I mean, old guy here. Let's have that, Mac.
I'm actually having an issue with this. It's not full screening.
Okay, well then, can you just play it and we can have the audio?
Sure.
Thank you. He's, I think, 77 now?
Wow. Go have it.
Yeah.
There she knows if the stores are all closed with the
you know, you can mock it all you want, but when you hear it live,
great record.
When it's a new version of it where he's doing it live, it's still iconic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a look, you can mock it all you want, but there is a reason that song got played as much as it did.
And it was, they kind of toned down the middle part so he didn't have to do all the screaming.
Can I tell you something about Led Zeppelin?
But he did a great job. Yeah, please.
Led Zeppelin, my musical influence was my sister. She was so into music.
So like a lot of Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman.
No. She was so into music. She was ahead of me by 7 years. And so Elton John, The Beatles, Cream, Creedence Clearwater Revival, so many of these artists, I was influenced by her. Led Zeppelin was my own. Led Zeppelin was what I brought to the party, and I loved Led Zeppelin, and I had everything that they ever recorded, and, you know, there's a song, Hangman.
Yeah.
Hangman. I mean, I just, they had that that wonderful uniqueness that I just love Zeppelin. I really do.
Cool hard rock based in blues, and I will say this as a fact, the only LP my daughter has ever stolen from me, and I've got a lot of them, is Led Zeppelin III.
Yeah,
she
great album.
Yeah, good
great
one.
Album.
All right, it's tough to be a millennial, Mike, and I would think most millennials nowadays would be happy just to have a job. However, this young lady is tearing up the internet because she's dissatisfied with having a job because, you know what? It's tough to be a grown-up.
I know I'm probably just being so dramatic and annoying, But this is my first job, like my first 9-to-5 job after college, and I'm in person, and I'm commuting in the city, and it takes me f***ing forever to get there. There's no way I'm going to be able to afford living in the city right now, so that's off the table, like f***ing duh. If I was able to walk to work, and it'd be fine, but I'm not. So it literally takes me, like, I leave here, like, I get on the train at 7:30, and I don't get home till like 6:15 earliest, and then, like, I don't have time to do anything. I want to shower, eat my dinner, and go to sleep. I don't have time or energy to cook my dinner either. Like, I don't have energy to work out. Like, that's out the window. Like, I'm so upset. Oh my God. Nothing to do with my job at all, but just like the 9-to-5 schedule in general is crazy. Being in the office 9-to-5, like, if it was remote, you get off at 5 and you're home and everything's fine. But like, I'm not home. It takes me long to get home. And
takes
like,
her long.
Takes
like
her long.
People that drive to the office, like, it doesn't, you don't get off at 5.
It goes on and on, but she's just having a bad day.
But she still supports James Madison University.
Oh snap.
Nah, just kidding. It could have been AU, but I felt like going JMU. Sorry about that.
Not West Virginia or VCU. I know that.
No, that's for sure.
That's full circle of what we discussed earlier.
It
today,
is.
Right?
Yeah. It absolutely
full
is.
Full circle.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing at that age.
You can't be jaded at that age.
I do remember what I was like. You're complaining about an hour commute?
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. It's insane to me.
Well, like she said, like, Mike, like at the beginning of like what she was saying there was like, maybe she's just like being over like dramatic.
It doesn't make sense.
Jimmy Kimmel, still one of my favorite joke tellers when he nails
Glad
it.
Glad that they're back on these guys.
Yes,
really.
Here. He gave us a good Taylor Swift NFL update last night.
Oh, good.
And so we'll close with this.
You know, the big story in the NFL this weekend is, did Taylor Swift go to the Chiefs game? And why, sure enough, she did show up in Kansas City. Travis Kelce had his best game of the season. He finished with a touchdown, 12 catches, 179 yards, and 35 friendship bracelets. So what a haul.
That's all awesome. I have for you.
Way to go, Kimmel. I'm glad those guys are back. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. And we will be back with another episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, when you never know. I might be talking to these guys in on a totally different floor.
That's the penthouse. True. And maybe wearing a suit.
Yeah, I might be wearing my gray suit, which obviously you guys like.
So you do. You look really good.
Yeah. Thank you. Pants are a little baggy. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, along with Mike McIntosh, Michael Mara, saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying.
I want you to start absorbing what I'm saying to you. You just want to talk. I'm not your psychiatrist.